This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio. Honored to have Dan Taylor, Senior Business Advisor, Transformers Institute. Hello, Dan.
Carm, good to see you. How are you?
I am great. It was always great to see you in Cancun this past 2022.
Yeah, down at our summit. Ran into you and you and I talked and you said, well, can we connect again? I said, give me 3 or 4 months. And I've been on the road doing EQ workshops all over the country and having a great time mixing with a lot of fantastic folks out there. And so I'm glad we were able to nail something down on the calendar and actually have a fantastic conversation ahead of us today.
Protecting our gross profit. Wow. An EQ specialist who's going to talk to us about protecting our gross profit. And I just want you, my audience, to just sit on that for a moment. Dan, it was so glad to come back because in the early days, Dan, we're in our episodes like 800, but back in episode 461, 474, and 486, we did this incredible 3-part series on emotional intelligence. Go to my website, remarkableresults.biz, type in Dan Taylor. It's just that easy. And please listen to these episodes because if you want to improve your EQ, which you must and you have to, please listen to them.
Appreciate the kind words.
In those episodes, I talk about that class that I went to, a week-long EQ that I invested in. And to this day, maybe 18 years ago, I remember that week like it was yesterday. It was amazing to get in touch.
One of the reasons I love doing the workshop, and I've done 9 or 10 of them this quarter, is I need it as a reminder every week. It makes me a better husband and a father and a friend and a colleague and a business partner and a lot of different things. So it's always a great refresher. And it's cool that people typically are extremely engaged in it. I mean, it's about self. It's human stuff. It's things that we all deal with. And it's interesting because today's topic about protecting your gross, whether it be percentages or dollars, I use EQ kind of as a platform to go back and go, what's really going on where we cannot seem to protect our GP? And if I could, I'll share the quick story how we got to that. I work with a lot of different groups. In fact, I'm very humbled, fortunate enough, over 100 people now in leadership groups that I facilitate and have a lot of great conversations. It ends up being probably the equivalent of 275 to 300 stores in totality. So we have a lot of engagement where it's cooperative learning. It's like lots of scratching the surface and bringing stuff up. And one of the things that happened is I realized, you know, my convictions, I have a lot of data. We do surveys internally. We do surveys externally. And one of the things that I realized, and I recently posted something on LinkedIn regarding it as well, was my conviction, even though I have empirical data to back up all this stuff, really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, somebody in their own mind, their head, their heart, their own paradigm of life have to figure out why they continue to do certain behaviors. So I was working with a group, they have multiple shops, and every single month, it's like, what's the golden standard on GP? Yeah, we should be hitting 60, 61, 62%. But for argument's sake, let's just say it's 60%. We know that that's a healthy number for organizations. You have to be in that 60% range month after month, or at least meeting after meeting. I got guys coming in the mid 50s. And I'm like, guys, let's just whiteboard this. So I went literally for like the next hour and a half, I had these store managers, and in this case, they were all guys. I said, let's dig into this. What is really going on here? I first started with a triangle, then I moved it to a Venn diagram, which you'll be able to see on the slide deck, and said, you know, there's really 3 players in this, right? We've got the individual person, whether it be a service advisor, the manager, the tech, what's going on in their head, their psyche. We've got the second group, which is the client. What's going on with them? Where are they coming from? What do they need? What do they want? What are their desires? Where are they coming in from this emotionally? And then the third one is we got the organization that we have to look out for the best interest of the entity as a whole. And the winning combination, of course, is trying to get a triple win. The client needs to win. The organization needs to win. Then obviously the individual needs to win so that they feel good about themselves. They don't lose sleep and ruminate over this stuff. Somehow they were doing somebody injustice. So that's the background story of how I came up. I was so inspired. I got up the next morning and literally from the whiteboard, I took a picture of it. And then I threw together this PowerPoint presentation. And since then, I've been using it in some additional training with the leadership groups that I facilitate. And we've added a little bit, tweaked it a little bit, but generally speaking, it is probably 90% of what the original content was or conversation. And it seems to resonate with people. And when you and I talk, right, I mean, I have literally dozens and dozens of things we could probably go down rabbit trails on. But I thought, what one topic at the end of the day could help the most number of organizations succeed? And it would be probably protecting their GP and making sure that they at least set themselves up organizationally wise for financial health by hitting those goals.
Napa Auto Care Centers are recognized as an integral piece to what sets Napa apart from the competition. And the Napa Auto Care brand? Well, it continues to be fully integrated into the national marketing strategy by optimizing targeted media in local markets and in proven channels. Don't forget, Napa Auto Care Centers have an online presence on Napa Online with the Auto Care Locator tool, generating millions of views per month. If you're interested in partnering with Napa Auto Care and capitalizing on America's largest network of parts and care, talk to your Napa Auto Parts sales rep today. So much of the things that happen to us just happen because we're in the thick of a moment. And we're trying to not only figure out ourselves, but figure out how can we relate to people and get them to change their world and their paradigm. And then all of a sudden, those magical things happen. And so we're going to see this. So if you're listening through audio, that's great. But we're also going to make this video available. It'll be up on our YouTube channel. There'll be a link in the show notes on our website. And probably even inside of your listening app, you'll probably be able to hit the YouTube link so that what Dan has, he's brought a little mini slide deck. And a lot of the stuff that you're going to see and you're going to hear about, you'll be able to see as we go through the slide deck.
Yeah, let's go ahead and hit that first one. The question at hand is, what do we need to do to protect gross profit margins? I'll leave that up to the discretion of the listener or whoever's taking a look at this, whether it's percentages or dollars. Obviously, dollars pay bills, but percentages are also very important. It didn't really matter which category we're in, but how do we protect that general profit margin? So the next slide deck is basically, again, what gets in the way or happens internally that causes challenges and roadblocks? So this is where we get into the individual psychology of things from two of the different portions, and then obviously the organization. And then the last slide deck was really, and people could expand the heck out of this, would be when we do these things, what else do we cause problems with internally? So, and oftentimes it really comes down to emotions, right? It comes down to the emotions that we have or that we're picking up from either an empathy standpoint. We're internalizing it because it looks something similar to what we have gone through with our clients. So oftentimes it truly isn't an emotional issue.
Let me stop for a moment. The whole thing about emotion, is that kind of like selling from our own wallet?
Absolutely. Same exact concept. And often that seems to be the catalyst, right? That seems to be the core issue or the root cause that ends up expanding itself out, is that we can't objectively separate ourselves from the situation, circumstances, or whatnot with the client. And then we will go through the five major emotions, right? So there's five major emotions that we all deal with. One of the very most important things is I'll ask in my workshop, what's the opposite of love? And oftentimes somebody will say hate. Well, actually the answer is not hate. The answer to any one given emotion by itself is actually indifference. And if we can get to indifference in a healthy standpoint, then many times we'll be able to more objectively go through this with a client instead of getting wrapped up with them on it. So this, again, the slide deck is relatively simple and people can take a look at this and digest as they want. But ultimately, we start with an untold story, right? We don't know the outcome. And many times we're either trying to project it, or we already see it happening, or we are going to play a role in it that might change the trajectory of that story. And ultimately, right, ultimately the goal is to build trust with somebody. If we go through the emotions, and there are five major emotions with the sixth one that I'll blend in and give a reference point to that, and people can do some of their own research. But three of them are very simple: mad, sad, and glad. They all rhyme. And even guilt. Guilt is when you do something that hurts someone else. We should feel guilty. The exception to that rule would be people that don't feel guilt or sociopaths. And then a lot of times you could go on a whole rabbit trail on what happens when that gets carried away and somebody has no remorse or no feeling of regret when they do something bad to somebody else's feelings. But mad, sad, and glad, if you are feeling guilty, you did something bad. So that also rhymes. And then the last one is fear, anxiety, worry, all those things that fall in that family would be the fifth emotion. I add shame. That most of that goes to the work of Brené Brown, researcher, psychologist, incredible. I'm into her second or third book right now. She makes a claim, which I'm not here to argue with that claim. I think I probably agree with it, that we all on a continuum have some sense of shame where we don't feel worthy of what we're getting, what we're receiving. And that plays a pretty big role as you go through the rest of these card decks, is Do we not feel worthy of something? And so she talks about these continuums. She also equates perfectionism, which is also a very common theme in high performers, is that perfectionism is directly related to shame, and that we're not giving ourselves permission to make mistakes and be imperfect, that we somehow have to rise to the occasion and make everything perfect every single time, including interactions with clients. So shifting gears here, if we take that same principle and we move it to how we feel when we're interacting with a client, and we went through these emotions. So I might feel mad because I feel rejected, or I feel like I'm not getting my point across. Or in some cases, and this came up quite a bit, and we know this happens, is that we have to feel like we have to defend our value as a service provider. We get angry that we have to defend our industry, that we have to defend the cost, what we ask people to pay. We can certainly feel angry in a bunch of different ways. Angry because I'm not getting the message conveyed accurately to you, et cetera, et cetera. So that emotion of feeling anger or frustration, there's a whole category of those things.
Let me stop and ask a really quick question about struggling. So many shop owners out there, there's a huge group that struggle. Is fear part of that struggle?
Yeah.
And listen, I don't want you to go out into a 20-minute thing with me. Maybe you need to come back and we need to do an episode on how to overcome our fear if you're struggling. Maybe you're struggling because of this. And maybe it's guilt and maybe it's fear. And maybe it's insights.
Or shame or any of these things. I mean, we get stuck because our emotions get us stuck. We have these filters, and we end up looking at life through these filters without a 20-minute dissertation. We'll go into 3 or 4 minute conversation on this. When are emotions appropriate? The answer is all the time. Then you got to ask the question, is the emotion accurate? Does it even belong here? And is it an accurate emotion? Then the question becomes absolutely not, right? They're not always accurate. Some people feel guilty when they should be feeling frustration. Some people feel sad when they should be feeling guilt or whatever. The bottom line is the emotions aren't always accurate. They show up for a reason and it's a healthy reason, but then we have to assess whether it's legitimate or not. Then you move into amplitude of the emotion. And real simply, we all get frustrated with traffic. In my opinion, there's an undercurrent of anger across our country. If you don't believe me, anybody that commutes to work knows that. The difference is being frustrated because a guy cut you off. I was just in Boston a couple weeks ago, and boy, they drive, right? There's a reason why great race car drivers come out of Boston. They're just going. They're not signaling. They're just moving. But for me to amplify that to the level of road rage and literally shooting somebody, that doesn't meet getting cut off. So the amplitude's not always accurate. Then we ask the question, the longevity. Is the longevity of that emotion appropriate? Now, the only caveat that I would throw in there is grief. Grief has no rules of engagement. You can have suffer a deep loss and you can be on the ocean of emotion for years or decades. I've had some tragic things happen in my past and I still have times that it really rattles me. Something triggers it. So when we talk about emotions, we've got to understand they're always okay. Then we have to evaluate whether they're accurate or not. Then we have to decide amplitude. Then we have to decide longevity. And then we can decide what we're going to do with that emotion. But we have to understand them. And so like when you said, is this a problem for folks? Absolutely, it's a problem because we're in an almost all male dominated industry, the last numbers I saw, somewhere between, 90 and 93% male. Well, what are we told as society as far as male figure masculinity? You better keep those emotions in check. And that's not always the case. It's not healthy for one. And I'm not saying that you blow up every time something goes wrong or you sit sulk in it, but you're going to live a lot healthier life. Your business is going to be healthier. If you've got some ideas about where your emotions are coming from, keep them in check and figure them out as you're moving along, and then assess what you do with those emotions moving forward as far as either behavioral or conversational or communication or what. I'm no psychologist. I spent enough time in a chair with learning about this stuff, and then I've just become kind of a self-learner as I've gone along. So moving on to the second one. So sad, right? You might feel sad that you're going to get rejected, that they're not going to take your advice. They're not going to listen to you. All those things, you're going to feel let down, including you could be feeling like you're letting down the person in the inspection, right? So it can run a couple different routes with the feeling sad or unhappy about what just transpired. Then obviously glad it would be you're happy that they took your recommendations. You're moving forward. It went smooth, key tossers, whatever we want to throw in that category. And then we talked about fear, right? There's a ton of fear, including, right, we overpromise. We start comparing ourselves. There's a lot of things that happen in that whole fear arena, and we can come back and do another session on that. And then I think where guilt, and we didn't really, through multiple conversations with probably 6 or 7 dozen people now, we didn't really come up with anything other than we say something wrong and we feel bad about what we said, or we lack empathy, right? And we know empathy is this massive, massive role player in building trust and engagement with clients. Those that cannot empathize, and by the way, it's a soft skill that is absolutely a learned skill set that you can pick up and do better and better on. I think some people are naturally better at it than others, but it also can be a detriment, right? And this is where empathy, if you empathize too much, you start using your own wallet to decide what the other person should or shouldn't do as far as either doing maintenance to their vehicle or repairs or whatever the scenario is. So, all right, let's go to the next page. This would be our client, right? So, and this is consultative sales 101, right? Either they come in and they already have a problem and we've identified it, it's leaking, it's broke, it's check engine light, whatever it is. And then oftentimes though, especially as the landscape has changed over the last multiple decades, we have a lot of unrealized needs, right? Where this might be maintenance things that we really should be doing. And I package it in asset preservation, right? I want a safe car, a reliable car, but boy, I tell you what, a lot of stuff I escape cognitive dissonance over because I have 3 vehicles that average 16 years and almost 165,000 miles. I drive cars until forever. So I'm perfectly fine investing in those cars as an asset and carrying them forward. But a lot of times, I don't know what I need. I don't know I needed a transmission flush. I don't know what the interval is on brake fluid flushes, all those things. Sometimes we have to obviously convey those things to our clients and overcome objections or educate them to the point where they now understand this is something you should be doing with your vehicle. So this is all about connection and empathy. This was a fascinating exercise. As I went through this list with multiple people, I said, well, what does the client really want to feel? What do they really care about? Well, they want to be heard. They want to be valued. They want to feel like they are in a safe place that they could be heard and valued and listened to, right? They want to be cared for. They want to be seen, recognized. I mean, you go down that entire list, but here's the deal. Nowhere on there is money. And that's where we have to be real, right? We are never, ever going to be competitive with the national discounters. And the reason is very simple. We cannot compete on parts margins. I worked for what at the time, 15 years ago, was the world's largest third-party fleet maintenance organization. We bought $4 billion in parts. Billion with a B. You think we had better pricing than... But at that time, I was calling on cities and counties, an entire fleet that had 30, 40, 50,000 pieces of equipment. My last one that I was working on was LA County. They had 100,000 pieces of equipment, and it was like a $50 million a year contract. And we got the elephant out of the room real quick and said, we'll make profit. We literally will make our profit just on parts. We don't have to change employee contracts. We don't have to change what your guys are making and your gals. None of your team has to change anything. It's all about buying power. So most of our audience is shop composition of, let's say, 10 shops down. That's a lot of the folks that are listening. We're not going to compete on price. So we have to compete on trust and relationship and experience and all those things. And you got to take your own personal wallet out of that because you'll never compete against the national chains. They're already 20, 30% ahead of you on parts margins. So you guys can reverse engineer the numbers. They've already got a 15, 20% lower cost framework than you do, but we still have to hit that 60% gross profit margin. But think about, not everybody's our client, right? Not every single client that we interact with, we want clients that this is more important to them than the pricing structure of their repair or their maintenance.
NAPA is proud to have America's largest network of parts and care with nearly 6,000 auto parts stores and over 18,000 auto care centers. In that spirit, the NAPA Auto Parts and Auto Care logos have a new look, carefully designed to be visually alike. This will further cement NAPA as the place to go for consumers when in need of vehicle maintenance. Now, did you know NAPA Auto Care was top rated in a national survey by consumers of car repair in the chains and independent repair shops category? These ratings were based on courtesy, timeliness, quality, price of repair, and percent of times the problem was fixed on the first visit to the repair facility. NAPA Auto Care is the only banner program to make these ratings. Consumers are familiar with the NAPA Auto Care brand, and you can benefit from their continued success. Your independent repair facility can join this network and be supported through NAPA's national marketing by Promoting your local repair facility with targeted media in local markets and in proven channels, allowing you to compete with a national presence by co-branding your locally known brand with the nationally recognized NAPA brand using the Pro Image Auto Care Program. Also, partnering with NAPA Smart Sign. Now, it educates your clients with engaging videos that tell the why behind a needed repair or service. You also get access to editable digital menu boards, template builder tools, social media feeds, and integrations with other auto care program elements. NAPA also offers a credit solution to customers with NAPA Easy Pay consumer financing with your business name embossed on the credit card. NAPA also gives you an online presence when the consumers search for a local repair facility on NAPA Online using the Auto Care Locator tool, which generates millions of views per month at no additional cost. From parts to care, from coast to coast, we are one NAPA. Now, if you're interested in partnering with NAPA Auto Care and capitalizing on the latest national marketing campaign, contact your servicing NAPA Auto Parts store or sales rep. Dan, let's go over this list for the people that are listening through audio.
You betcha. Yeah. So we've got, they want to feel heard. They want to feel valued. They want to feel safe. They want to feel cared for. They want to feel seen. They want to feel educated, right? That they're getting a straight skinny on that. They want to feel recognized, right? For a person who they are. They want to feel understood. They want to feel important, that their challenge or concern is important and that you recognize that. They want to feel guided. They want to feel treated fair, which I think is huge. They want to feel treated humanely, right? Non-transactional, right? And that's huge. We cannot make this transactional. We could do a whole nother podcast on, dug into the issues around trying to move more business through a building. We end up losing business a year from now because we made it transactional. We have to make it human, right? People have to feel like they got their time worth. They have to feel like they're being told the truth. They want to feel confident in the decision that they make because of the information we provide. They want to feel like their time is being respected, and they want peace of mind. And then finally, the last two is they want satisfaction with their decision and what they did or choices they made. And they want that to feel trusted. It's a trusted decision. It's a trusted relationship that they have.
I read a book a long time ago, Neil Rockman, and I'm trying to remember the title of it. I think it's on my books page on the website. And it was all about the transactional versus consultative selling. And it really rocked my world. And I think it's one of the most critical reads of any shop owner to realize that transactional is all about how much.
Right. It's efficiency and speed. McDonald's is built on transactional. They're not built. If you look at it, we all love Chick-fil-A experience because they take it down a notch and they make it more relational.
The book is called Rethinking the Salesforce. And I may have read that 18 some years ago, and it really did change my direction of trying to understand the kind of position we needed to take in relating to customers.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's move on to the last slide, which is the organizational slide. You know, we've got a responsibility. We know what organizational metrics are, right? We know what those KPIs are. And it is, one of the keys is gross profit. We have to have gross profit to be healthy. And I often package this verbiage with financial health, financial stewardship of the organization, right? We are no good if we go out of business. The customer loses, the client loses, our teammate loses, and the organization loses. Everybody loses if we're not playing a role in this. And so this is where it gets back to this, talked about Brené Brown's multiple books on shame, self-value, self-worth, self-esteem. We don't believe we have the value. And it's just a different way of saying you have discounted something with your own wallet because you don't think you're worth it. And I told you I get passionate about this. If I could magically sprinkle sauce on every service advisor, every professional technician around the country, every owner, we deserve every single dime that we charge clients for the services, the care, the amount of professionalism and energy and commitment we put into things. We absolutely are worthy of charging what we charge. And I know this is a different way of packaging all this stuff, but ultimately, if I could get people convinced your self-worth is much higher than what you might think it is, I'd be willing to pay twice as much as I currently pay. And of course, I have my own shop with some guys, so I started to get a little bit of a discount. But I tell these guys that we have four technicians, guys, I just want you to do it right. I need to rely on you guys. I am an absolute meatball when it comes to mechanical stuff. I break everything I touch. Your value to me is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars per hour. Like, it doesn't matter to me. Just do it right. Obviously, I don't want to get jammed and cheated. But at the same time, the value to me is the same as a great doctor, a great attorney, a great accountant, any of the other professions, a great dentist, right? That we put a high self-esteem on and we appreciate that relationship. That's the kind of clientele we want. People that respect that, appreciate how much time and energy we put into things. So it's all about self-value.
Let me ask you an important question about the service advisors that you see constantly. Do they feel deeply that the shop needs to get paid for what we know?
I think most of the organizations we work with, because they work with Jason Consultative Sales Program, we drive that point home. But speaking of that, Carm, we have cognitive dissonance, right? And here's a great example. I have cognitive dissonance on this. I know that I should be able to call and get pricing over the phone. I know that for a fact. But when I put on my consultant hat and I put on my coaching hat and my business owner hat, I know statistically, if someone gives pricing out over the phone, they are doomed for failure. They will get 1 out of 10 people to come in and they wasted all their time giving pricing out over the phone because you're not going to beat the Goodyear and the Monroe and the Firestone and all the guys that we compete against nationwide that are in a larger discount national model because we can't beat them on pricing on parts. It's as simple as that. And typically they don't have near the quality of technicians that we have in most of our shops. We really do have magical unicorn kind of guys and gals that just do magic in the back. So what happens is, right, I have two different beliefs systems. I had to make a bridge there and say, you know what? What's more important? That I have a service advisor that's efficient, that's doing the right things, asking someone to come into the shop so that we can really, truly evaluate it and educate the client and all those things. And I go through a whole exercise in my workshop on this cognitive dissonance stuff, because ultimately people are going to do what they believe. So if they truly believe the value is only this, they're going to go right back to the repeating the same old lessons until they move their own mindset that, well, we charge $186 an hour labor, for example, and that's fair. Right? Or 100, and, you know, it depends on what part of the country you're in. We have this wide variation demographically and regionally on labor rates. And then, of course, you always hear the, well, it depends on what it is. But the bottom line is nationally, from what I know, general repair should be between probably $165 and $180 an hour. And euro should be $185 to probably $230 an hour. And that's what we should feel very convicted on, that we are charging a fair rate. And if you don't believe me, go compare yourself to all the dealers around you, because the dealers are usually charging more. We know statistically, most people don't care to go to that environment for a lot of reasons. And we can build a long-term relationship, a multi-generational relationship with people, if we'll focus on the relationship instead of the price. And it goes back to protecting this GP. We have to believe in ourselves first, or we're never going to succeed in that mission of protecting the GP.
Got it. Thank you.
We've got emotions are understood and kept in check. We should feel bad if the person just had a loss in their family or their son was in the hospital for 8 days or whatever that case might be. We should feel bad about that, but it shouldn't translate over into I'm going to discount this and this and this and your parts are half price and we just took it out of the backside of the organization, because that's not fair to the other. You know, this Venn diagram, it's not fair to the health and responsibility of the organization generating profit in dollars and percentages. And then authentic expression of empathy, right? We should care about our clients. And many of the great service advisors around the country have very, very personal relationships with the clientele, including hugs. You want to know a great shop? Boy, look at Christmas time when they've got mounds of cookies and baked goods from everybody that they serve all year long. So there's lots of neat ways that you can do that. But where the three intersect, that is the sweet spot where we need to be healthy. And then finally, that last one is just different things that we do to sabotage protecting the gross. One more slide there. We talk too much, right? We're going too fast. We're shorthanded within the facility and we don't make adjustments. The game plan changes workflow or other things. And that happens on a regular basis all day long at almost every shop around the country. There's too much work at one time. Or we have a work mix problem, right? Oftentimes, you know, we'll have too much big repair stuff. It's like a Tetris game, right? You've got to figure out and you got to have a balance of different things. And then finally, we talked about the training, failed to set expectation with clients. Well, that's that professional communication that we're responsible for. And then also service advisors doing the diag over the phone or giving pricing over the phone or things that they know are not healthy and not good in the long run. So hopefully folks got some takeaways from this, but ultimately it comes down to we got to feel worthy of charging a fair and equitable rate and price for the services that we provide our clients. And we do such a great job. We absolutely deserve, we need to charge to be healthy.
When I think about, you know, here it is, we're 3 weeks into a month and yeah, life goes on with our people, with our company, with our customers. This would be a great recharge episode to kind of watch and remind yourself as a service advisor what your role and responsibilities are to the company that you work for and for your client.
Absolutely. No, it's a great recharge. Appreciate those kind words. Yeah, I get energized just talking about it because if we can change the mindset and we can refocus on, you know, you've got three responsibilities to yourself and understanding where you're coming from, the client and trying to accommodate them and make them feel all the things that were on that list. And the organization, that we keep the organization financially healthy and good stewards of that responsibility, then everybody can win. And it is about trying to figure out how everybody wins. I don't like scenarios where I got out negotiated or I got taken advantage of. I think most of us, especially in a consultative mindset, we want to do what's best for everybody so we can all win. And I think this is a great reminder that we can all win. We can't be everything to all people, but we can certainly win if we keep these three things in mind.
Let me throw something at you. Consultative. There are going to be people listening to you saying that, and they're going to say, I can't relate to that. And what helped me get through it, because I didn't want to think that my salespeople were consultants, I went with the word relationship selling. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. Relational selling, need-based selling versus wants, where your wants are trying to overcome what their true needs are. I made a living as a professional B2B sales guy for many, many years. And I had one simple mantra. I never want to have to avoid anybody in a supermarket aisle. And to this point, I haven't had to avoid anybody because I've never let anybody purchase or buy something that didn't somehow benefit them for the betterment of the relationship.
Well, I've heard that over and over again. I know so many shop owners and service advisors that want to be out in the public. They're so good at what they do. They're such a magnet of the community. They just want it to continue because people like that feel good about hearing and seeing people that they've taken care of, that they've given them exactly what they wanted. And it really wasn't about price. Dan Taylor, I could listen to you for a long time, so I really can. It was great having you. Please come back. Let's do some more. And this was a great, beautiful episode, Protecting Our Gross Profit with Dan Taylor, Senior Business Advisor at Transformers Institute. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.